Well, good morning. And a very warm welcome to our service this morning. It's the final service of the year, and we're taking the opportunity to look back at 2023 and forward to 2024. So welcome to everyone here in church and also those joining us via Facebook, and especially if you're a visitor here or indeed online. If you are here in the church, you will have a somewhat extended order service which will enable you to follow and participate in our worship this morning. Okay, first, let me draw your attention to a few announcements. Next Sunday, 7th of January, is our New Year Jam service, where we'll be thinking about why the Sabbath matters to God and how it should matter to us. That's a half-hour service next Sunday, 11 to 11:30. Following Sunday, 14th of January, is a communion service, first in 2024, and a great way to begin a new year. So do join us for that, please. No tea or coffee after the service today. I do have some sad news. We regret to announce the death of Mr. John Coote. We extend our sympathy to his wife, Lorna, their children, Lisa Jane, Tina, Emma and Neil, and to the wider family circle. John's funeral will be here in Ballygilbert next Thursday. That's the 4th of January at 1 p.m. Please pray for the family in their time of sorrow and loss. As you know, Craig is the convener of Second Nards, and that's where he is this morning, which means we're doing things a little bit different today, or is it differently today? We don't have a visiting speaker, but instead we have a short service of reflections, prayer and praise led by some of the elders. And our thanks to Craig for all his work in preparing this. You should all, hopefully, have an extended order service, and we will simply work our way through that. You will see that some of the text is highlighted in bold, so please join in as we read those parts together. We're going to start with an opening devotion as we come to the end of 2023 and the beginning of 2024. It's titled Looking Back, Looking Forward. As we come to the end of this year, let's take some time to look back and to look ahead. Ask God to help us review the highlights of this year, the hard times as well as the good. Try to see God in our memories, for he has been close to us every step of the way. When we were clinging to God for help in the midst of tough times, he comforted us with his presence. He was also richly present in the circumstances that filled us with joy. God is with us on the mountain peaks, in the valleys, and everywhere in between. Our future stretches out before us all the way to eternity. God is our companion who will never leave us, the guide who knows every step to be taken. He is the joy that waits for us in paradise. As we prepare to enter a new year, may heaven's light shine on us and brighten the path before us. We stand to sing, Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Oh,
We're now going to look at reverence, and we read from Psalm 103. And just a reminder, please join in at the lines in bold. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. Natalie will now lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you when you promise us that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are there also. What a reassurance for us when we know you are here with us in Ballygilbert this morning. As we approach the end of 2023, we are so thankful that you have been beside us every step of the way, through the highs and the lows of the last 12 months. Lord, you have created the whole universe. You know us inside and out. You know what is in our hearts and what we will say before we speak. It's mind-blowing to realize that although you control the whole universe, you also know how many hairs are on our head and every intricate detail of our lives. You know everything about us, and yet you still love us unconditionally. Lord, we are sorry when we have fallen short this year, for the times when we have been too busy to help someone in need, when we haven't set a good example as one of your followers, when we have put ourselves first instead of thinking of the needs of others. We can all think of situations that we would handle differently if we had the opportunity to go back in time. We ask for forgiveness for the times when we have let you down. Although we don't deserve it, we thank you for the abundant grace you show us. We thank you that you love us and you promise us a place in heaven when we come to the end of our earthly journey. Lord, the depth and the breadth of your love for us is difficult for us to understand, but we are so thankful for it. We ask for your blessing in this place in the days ahead as we move into a new year. May we follow you with more determination and renewed vigor along life's path, knowing you as our guide and constant companion in the days ahead. We ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Following our prayers, we now look at a couple of Bible readings relating to repentance. Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. And from 1 John, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And join with me for the first part of the next bit. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We will now join together to sing Psalm 130, Lord, from the depths to thee I cry.
Good morning. Read from John 15, 7 to 17. Petition. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now I remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give to you. This is my command: love each other. So, as part of our thanks to God for what he has already gifted us, we'll now lift the offering. Thank you very much.
I don't think we have many children this morning apart from the two that are already out in the vestibule. So I think Natalie's been released from her duties in Lighthouse this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bring before you our offerings of our hearts, minds, and worldly goods. We pray that the money given today with willing hearts will go towards the works you require to be done, both here in this building and in the wider world, through Mission and United Appeal. As we reach the end of another year, we think of all the things we have experienced in the last year in our own lives and look towards the next chapter. For those of us who have experienced loss, adversity, confusion, and challenge, either mentally, emotionally, or financially, remind us that we are your children and that you can comfort, support, and uplift us in our times of need. For those who have experienced joy, excitement, good health, and prosperity, remind us that we depend on you for all we have and all we are. As we move forward into 2024, teach us to be more fully dependent on you and to talk to you daily through prayer for everything we need, and to thank you for the gifts and blessings we receive. Throughout this year, as your church, we have helped our local community in many ways, both practically and through prayer. We think in particular of Tiny Life, Storehouse, and Women's Aid, to name but a few, who provide so many people in distress with the face-to-face comfort that they need. We pray that through this continued work, your love and compassion for those in crisis will shine in every corner of our local community. We pray that as your children, you would guide us to interact with the people we meet in our everyday lives, giving a much needed smile or a friendly face or a few minutes conversation or a hug or a cuppa, and that we may continue to show your love in little but practical ways. We think of our small country and the lack of true leadership that we are experiencing, and the financial distress that it is causing to so many people. We pray, Lord, that you will influence those people who have the power to change this situation, and that they would work for the good of all the people and not just their own political interests. We also think of the experiences of people in the wider world. Lord, we often do not know where to start when thinking about the horrors we see on our news and social media every day. These problems are huge, far away, and inconceivable. From the natural disasters like fires and volcanic eruptions, to wars caused by people who have their own agendas and refuse to see other people's perspectives. We see innocent people made homeless and entire cities and areas of countryside destroyed in human desires to make the world a better place in their eyes and wants. Heavenly Father, you do not have the same concept of time as us, and we rarely get insight into your master plan. But throughout our history, the Bible has shown us that you will bring judgment on those who disobey you and will always bring people back to your path and plan, providing that we have faith and trust in you. You kept your promise by bringing your Son into this world to be a counselor, a Prince of Peace, born in humble circumstances, yet conquering death itself and shining your holy light through Jesus during his time here on earth. Help us to keep our faith and trust in you, to be little lights in your plan, and to pray constantly for your will to be done, and to remember that you left your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. Help us to constantly search for that guidance, and when we struggle to know what to pray for or how to pray, lead us back to the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We're now going to watch a short video entitled, Should Christians Make New Year Resolutions?
One of the enduring traditions of celebrating New Year's is the making of resolutions, and sometimes people wonder, should Christians do that? Well, I think it's always right to take the opportunity to renew commitments, to make some changes of habits and disciplines in our lives, and because of the start of a new year. That is, I think, a great time for Christians to take a good, honest view of their lives. What do I need to adjust? What do I need to change? And so I think it's right to make New Year's resolutions, but let's keep them in context. First of all, you know, in the book of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about the taking of oaths. And indeed, what we say should be, that should be enough. So when we talk about making a New Year's resolution, we don't mean taking an oath. When I make a New Year's resolution, I understand that the very fact that I'm having to make the resolution means this thing is a struggle, whether it's about losing weight or exercising more or a spiritual discipline of reading the Bible more or more prayer. But a resolution is a declaration of my intention. So I think it's healthy for a Christian to have resolutions, to say, here's the way I intend to live. I intend to engage in this kind of activity that will result in better health. I intend to read my Bible and to pray in a disciplined way every day, because those declarations of intent become our habits. So I think it's good. It's a good thing to have resolutions. But when we make them, let's make them with all seriousness, and then let's keep those resolutions. It's not the same thing as taking an oath. We're not vowing that we will unfailingly do these things the way we might take an oath when we get married. We vow to be faithful every day of our lives. When I have a resolution to eat less, for instance, I know there are going to be days that I don't exactly abide by that. So if you make a resolution and then you find, you know, it's hard to translate that into habit, and you constantly have to remind yourself, it's important that you don't get discouraged, because discouragement is often the enemy of sanctification. So don't get discouraged. Just keep going back to it, applying the grace of God, applying the power of the Holy Spirit that the Lord has put within you to keep the resolution that you know this is a thing that honors the Lord. I want to be faithful to it. So if indeed you don't stick to your diet, you don't read the Bible every day for a while, then you remember the resolution, well, then go back to it. Don't walk away from it because you're discouraged, but say, no, it was right that I made it in the beginning. It's right that I take it up again now and keep at it until I build this as a habit into my life. So I think it's a good thing for Christians to take stock of their lives, to say, what do I need to adjust as I enter a new year? This is a new opportunity for me to be more faithful to the Lord. What are the things that need adjustment? And I think that's good.
Let us all stand and sing Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Rejoicing, Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They swarmed around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. We will now sing In Christ Alone.
I just say thank you for being here today. Thank you for support today and indeed throughout the last year. And on behalf of Craig and the elders, I would like to wish you a happy and peaceful new year. Let us join in the grace together. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore.